Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Two.
All right. This is the Walk and Talk Podcast, and I am your host, Carl Fiadini. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we are at the World Food Championship in Dallas, Texas. Now, it's early in the morning. There's all kind of stuff going on here late at night. It's party time in Dallas. Now, what I got to tell you is I have two bad-ass dudes at the table with me right now. I have Chef Gernard Wells. I also have Chef John McFadden. These are two celebrity chefs that, I mean, in one place, one time, Walk and Talk Podcast, I got Chef Jeffrey Jefferson Starship Schlissel over there, who, by the way, last night, dude, you killed it. You killed it. And I want to let you, we're going to, out of respect for this dude right here, I want you to start off, give the sexy time talk on the food, what we did last night, because You murked it. I'm telling you, you did. Shut the music, dude. Just shut it off. Shut the music.
So
go talk. Go.
This is going to be really good because while you've been playing judge, I've been actually playing interviewer. And this as we know, the setup with the speakers. So
yeah,
Barry White's in the house today.
All right, guys. First of all, hey, just say hi, Chef.
Hi, Chef.
Hi, Chef. Hi, Chef.
Good morning.
All right. Jeff, go, baby.
All right, so last night, as we were walking out, the guys over from Dat Sauce, I don't know if you've had it.
I have.
Yeah, and they also had this incredible, it's crack, basically. It's a soft-shelled crawfish. And I used to live in Metairie, in Metairie, Louisiana, and I never, ever saw those things. It was always like, you know, rip off the head, suck the head, and pinch the tail, right? These things, oh, my goodness. So we lock horns with them. And we're like, hey, we're going to come on over, Southern Hospitality. Come on over. So Pooch had come in. Pooch Rivera had come in from New Orleans, and he bought lamb racks with him, and that's what we were going to cook last night. So we got onions and carrots and zucchini and ordered squash and asparagus. We go all the way over. It was literally like having like the Guy Fieri's market where they run through the whole market and they try to get stuff in a certain, but we had to go to a liquor store. By the way, everything closes at 9 o'clock.
Everything is at 9 o'clock in this place.
It becomes very dry. And if somebody named Bucky would have parked the car, we would have actually gotten in before 9 o'clock. Yeah, Buckster,
see that cat right there? That's him, right there.
So then we
dropped the ball.
Then we went looking for the oil because they didn't have enough Earl, as they say in Louisiana. So we finally get down there. It's like almost like 9:30, 10 o'clock. We walk in the house and there's all these different people. I only know like one person, which is the person that Scott, who invited us over.
So which we just met, by the way.
Literally like a couple hours beforehand.
Yeah.
We walk in and I'm walking in with all this food. He's got the juicer. There's the RD, the vice president of R&D for Bloomin' Onion brand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Right. So I'm like, he starts talking to me. What are you doing? Pooch represents also Cheese Wheeze.
Chewies.
And he also represents a couple of different spice blends and stuff like that. So I said, okay, let's do this. So I took the Dat sauce. I did a little bit of a Cajun seasoning that Hal had that was over with that as well. And I glazed that after I cooked it, got a sear to it, and I put the Chewies on the top, Cheesies on the top. I couldn't believe it. I was cutting, and as I was cutting, I only saw two people with their phones out. And then at the end of it, who was the one that was singing? Bridget.
Yeah, Bridget.
Bridget.
Yeah.
She goes, you know, once you put that thing down, you start to cut. Every single chef, in fact, non-chef, got up and like looked at what you were doing. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I was so
You were
focused.
In the zone. You were blacked out. You were blacked out.
Literally, it was done. And by the time I got that done, I was actually sauteing the crawfish.
Mm.
And Chef Fern walked over and he goes, dude, I've been doing this every year. He goes, you're the first dude that's walked in this house that hasn't burned them. I'm like, I know, because I didn't want to.
Yes.
but you guys got to understand. Okay. All right. All right, look, there was about maybe 12 people or so in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I set the fire alarm off four times.
Yeah, I mean, rank amateur, bro. It was amateur hour, you know what I mean?
I'm not kidding you.
I was like, I don't know that cat.
He just wandered into the stove.
Right.
They literally had to ripped off the fire alarm so it wouldn't keep on beating.
But you have to understand, what I'm trying to set up is the vibe. Mm. The vibe was a bunch of chefs, bunch of industry people, dudes from Louisiana who are just like laid back, like you right? So what ended up happening is this, and I don't know where she is or who, I don't know her story, but Bridget, she's a singer and she plays guitar and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So out of nowhere, you know, we're having a beer, we're drinking a cocktail, whatever. The food was outstanding, and we're all doing it like eating over garbage cans in the sink. It was so wonderful. And she breaks out the guitar, the acoustic guitar. Brings out the guitar, and she starts singing.
Yeah, cool.
Holy crap.
So you literally had your own soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
It
was her own music, so I had like my own walk-up music. Yeah. I could put it on my writer, you know, my contractor agreement next time.
No.
Actually, my contract says bourbon, and it's been a huge fail since we've gotten in here to Texas.
All right, so, all right, Jeff, I just, you know, hats off to you, dude. That was that is a memory forever. Yeah. That was such a great evening.
And the vibe was just, you know, what I realized when we got back to the Airbnb, I was like, you know what? This is such a great thing about the culinary industry that people don't talk about. It's the networking opportunities, but it's, everybody was competing. There's a woman that was there who was competing in the bacon today. And she's like so amped up, and you can see it. And people are like, I'm so proud of you. And it was just the support system that that's what we need to teach the chefs of tomorrow. Because if that we do that, then we can actually show them. If we mentor students and the chefs of cooks tomorrow and not beat them up like you and me, what happened to us. And if we can turn that table and turn the tide, I think we can have a different industry than what it is today.
You're right. And I think one of the cool things about World Food Championship is that it really brings that camaraderie together. I started out with World Food Championship, 10 years ago, when it was only a year old. And
that was Vegas. That was before Food Network and all that, right?
Yes, that was before Food Network, all of that, because I did World Food Championship the year before I got my first big opportunity with Food Network. My first opportunity was I was competing on a show by the name of Chef Wanted with Ann Burrell, and it was shot in the oldest steakhouse in the United States by the name of Old Homestead in Chelsea, New York, and it was amazing. I always said at that point, I was going to take, as they say, your last 15 minutes of fame on stage, them 15 minutes, I was going to take it and turn it into a lifetime of a career. So I understood the method that two parts, just like here at World Food Championship, you have your cooking chops and your talking chops, and you have to understand there's the side of actually cooking and the side of entertaining. What you, Chef John McFadden, I think does so well. When I came here and I saw this brother up there cooking by itself,
solo, yeah,
battling, but then with the chef jacket on, but then a bow tie.
Look, exactly.
If that doesn't garner the attention, I don't know what does.
No, okay. So I don't. First of all, I'm a straight shooter, and we all bleed the same. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But I respect what people do. Right, and I saw you over there as a showman, which, you know, this is where we're at. We're showmen, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But then I saw you throwing it down in the kitchen.
Yes,
right.
Yes. By himself.
So you by yourself,
and I sat in on the dinner. Oh my goodness, yeah.
I didn't get to. I'm so mad.
Oh, there's a queue at the door, mate. Those nice seats left,
bro. Let me tell you something. All right, so we're doing all this judging. I mean, I didn't get to eat that one time.
I yelled at him, actually. He comes over, and he goes, oh, I'm hungry. I'm like, you ate. I go, I had two pieces of potato chips.
I only ate because of the
No, you didn't. You didn't. You only had, like, a taste because you were actually judging.
Oh, you mean a couple of days ago.
You were only judging what was the execution part of it.
I said, don't they know who we are? They know who I'm with. I mean, what is this? No, so.
Even back to your point about the whole mentoring, bringing mm-hmm. people through, you know, the opportunity for me around the camaraderie, yes. Like last year was my first year here. And the friendships and the networks yes. has been established in such a short time. For me, it's just blown me away. Like, you come here, people hug you, they greet you. It's yes. like you've known them for 10 years, you know. So, you know, for me, that's really humbling, being so far away. And then even coming here and yesterday doing the Champions Table lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to, you know, have a conversation with somebody, talk about the food. And that's what I'm passionate about. I love talking about food. And when we talk about the young kids coming through the kitchen and the opportunities, you know, in front of the stove, as you said earlier, yes. not behind it, is they're endless. And,
it is.
You know, the opportunity that I had sort of coming through the kitchens when I was in my mid-20s, I had a lady who was a journalist and mm-hmm. She was on TV and she took me under her wing. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. Like, I'm really nobody, do you know what I mean? And my career started elevating. Like, obviously, you know, you've got to cook well and yes. do well, and everything happens. And that really put me in good stead because I spent a lot of my time in the mentoring space, and mm-hmm. and it's trying to integrate sort of the young kids into the workforce from school into the workplace because, you know, at home, there's mum and dad,
yes.
right? Yeah, and when you go to school, mum and dad pick you up. They take you here, they take you there. But when you go out into the workforce, now you're on your own. To a degree, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kids have got to grow up pretty quickly, and the workplace can be pretty harsh sometimes.
Well, yeah, you know, so especially we're males, okay? And in the end, you get punched in the belly, and you learn. Because when you're 17, 18, typically we're all lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to do anything. I want to stay in bed. I want whatever. At some point in time, you get kicked in the belly and you realize that, oh man, I can't rely on the parents, or I don't have any parents, mm-hmm. or whatever the situation is, I got to do it by myself. And at that point in our life, as a male, you have to sink or swim. Whatever's going to happen to you, it starts right there. And some people, they catch on to it and they ride it in, and some people don't, right? But if you're, you know, I was just talking to a young lady here a moment ago. It's funny how they're saying on the memes and on the videos and stuff right now on social media that it's funny how lucky you get when you put your work and your effort into it, right? It's pretty amazing how how lucky am I, but when you're putting in the work and effort,
yeah.
Right? And we're all relatively, you know, same age, except for that grandpa over here. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to bring the young yes. people up, right? So you guys are chefs. You're in the kitchen, and that's where you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in food distribution and sales for 25 years, and I do that on the sales side because in the end, you guys can't get what you need done without us cats. Correct. And sure. And if you come across as like, hey, I'm a salesman, nobody wants that. Nobody cares about that.
We love the relationships. That's what it's really about. Even from like my local purveyors, meat fishmongers, all mm-hmm. those. I love the relationships still. You know, I think we've gotten so disconnected to the point of where everything is so automated, we lose that relationship. But that's one of the things, and I even teach the young chefs, there's the competitive side, but then there also has to be the relationship building side. You can't get so wrapped up in your craft that you don't build the relationship, because those become the tools around you. Iron sharpens iron. And it's good to have that relationship. Also, as being a more advanced and older chef, I love grooming the other chefs to move into my spots. And because that means that as they move up, I move up, because it's a form of elevation. And, you have somebody, because too often we don't want as chefs anybody to duplicate our process.
Now, everything is tight, close to the vest.
Yeah. And it's a gift that we have. This is a gift that we have as chefs. What you were explaining about last night's experience. I remember you was telling me also about the meal before that, when you guys were rolling in the chicharrones and stuff. That is a gift, and gifts are meant to be what?
Yeah.
Shared.
Yeah.
So if we take the younger chefs and we instill this in the younger salesmen, and we instill this in them, then all we're doing is building a stronger foundation for ourselves. And just think about now, you're spanning from one side of the country to the next, just all off of the relationships, but hard work and ethic. As they say, hey, fate without works is dead. And, and what you were saying, it was saying that, oh, it just Amen. Is luck. That is true. You can believe and have all the faith in the world, but if you're not getting up doing something every day to activate it, it's just a wish. It's just a dream.
Right.
And I know that personally, because I started out at a young age, growing up in Mississippi. My father was Creole, and my father was a chef. And at 10 years old, he would bring me in the kitchen with him cooking, and I'm thinking, I'm just in there spending time with him.
You didn't feel punished?
No, I it was cool. I'm spending time with my dad. So, you know, not realizing he was actually teaching me a valuable skill and craft. You know, he later on passed away when I turned 16, and I took that amount of knowledge that he gave me at that young of an age. I wanted a car going into my senior year in school. I came up with the idea and pitched to my mom, I want to open a restaurant up. I said, because I know some of my dad's recipes and things like that. I said, because I want to buy a car. I don't want to ride the school bus. And my mother said, well, Janar, how much money you have? I said, I have $50 from cutting the neighbor's yard. She said, $50? Where are you going to open a restaurant up with $50? I said, out of your kitchen. That's all I got is $50. She said, okay, but you got to do it the right way. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the right way? She said, you know, all those Webster encyclopedias that's in there collecting dust that y'all ordered, then you and your siblings don't never look at, you go get it, figure out how to create me a business plan, and then come back and see me. And, of course, that was prior to Google, so I figured out how to create this whole business plan. And I go back to her 2 weeks later, pitch the idea to her, and she was like, okay. She said, so now you got to get business license. She take me to get business license, local courthouse. They laugh at me. Business license was $5. Got them. Then she said, okay, now what you going to do about supplies? I said, I remember y'all used to go to this local wholesaler, and I remember the salesman there because he was always so nice and cool. Can we go there? She takes me there. We get out in the parking lot, and she says, shipping and receiving. This is what she asked me. You know about shipping and receiving? Did you figure out that in your research? I said, yeah. She said, how much money you got? Pull up $45. She snatched $10 out of my hand and said, shipping and receiving ain't free. This will bring you here. I was like, man, I'm getting already, my pocket's going to be empty before I get started. But I go in, take those items, order my little grocery list. I started making peas from scratch, bolognese, sweet tea, brine, fried chicken, things like that.
But those were recipes from your pops?
Yeah, those were recipes from my dad.
Okay.
Started passing out flyers in the neighborhood. The first week, I made $150. So I'm thinking, oh, $50 to $150. I keep doing this. I got to have a car by the end of the year. But then I got wise. I'm like, dang, I'm serving food to the construction workers. I'm getting up at 5 in the morning to make their lunches because they would come by my house and pick it up because we were in a smaller community. So I started telling them, hey, since you come this early, now they come in, I'm making bacon, I'm making biscuits from scratch, putting the ambience in the air. They're like, what you cooking, young chef? Oh, breakfast. Would you like to order a plate? So now I'm serving them breakfast and lunch. Then I tell them, hey, you're passing my house on the way home. Half of you can't cook. Now get dinner.
Three meals.
By the end of the summer, I was making $3,000 a month. Look, at 16, by the end of the summer, I was making $3,000 a month selling food out of my mom's kitchen.
At 16.
Yes.
There's your business plan. Awesome, man.
I got a question for you. And that's an amazing story, too. Every chef has a different one, right?
And that's a personal story, man. We appreciate the share on that.
Yeah, definitely. Now that you've gotten to the level that you're at, and I think one of the biggest things that we're missing here is a conversation, because I know we were talking about it off camera in the green room. Most of these kids think, oh, I can be a Guy Fieri or an Amber, you know, Bobby Flay. It's not that easy.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
It's just like trying to be in the NBA or the NFL.
Yeah, that's a serious golden ticket.
Uh-huh. You got to think about it. Every basketball player's dream will say, oh, I'm going to go to the NBA. Or every football player, young, I'm going to go to the NFL. But those are based off of how many people in the world, those are like needles in a haystack.
Yep.
Those are raw form. So what I suggest to any young chef, you don't focus on the TV. I never focused on the TV or the entertainment. I focused on the art. I look at my culinary skill as an art form. Why it's called culinary arts? Because we are painting a picture with our plate. I focused on that and making people happy through the plate, making people happy through my conversation and the entertainment just so happened to come.
Right, but here, see, the both of you, well, because, you know.
I know, you're getting giddy, I know.
Woo! No, so what ends up happening, you can be an amazing culinarian. You can cook. I can throw down. Man, I make badass plates. But if you don't have the personality to articulate that out, you're never going to, if you want exposure and you want the camera, it'll never come because you need the personality to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, the both of you have the personality to deliver it. The problem with young kids are what we have here is humble attitudes. Okay. You both are humble people and you were given the crowd your time as you were cooking. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to do that. You could have ignored everybody.
Sure.
Right? But you chose not to do that. You brought them into your environment. That's why you get lifted up.
But that's his brand. Like, you know what I mean?
You can't have a brand if you can't execute that.
Well, no, I get what you're saying. But go ahead, Chef.
What's really important to me, and it goes back to the story you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. about relationships with the supplier, with the producer.
Yes.
And I love that because food comes from somewhere. And it takes time to grow.
Correct.
And there's a story. There's a reason why that piece of protein or that vegetable is on the plate. And it's all about communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's powerful.
It is.
To know where it comes from, does it have a sustainability footprint? Because we're all heading that way. I mean, that's really important to share my philosophy and my story as to how and why I got where I did. It's bloody hard work. Like, it didn't come on a silver platter. So, and you're right, like, you got to invest a lot of time, and it's always about continuous improvement. You know, what can I do better tomorrow that I didn't achieve today? And what's really interesting when we're talking about, you know, the younger generation in the kitchen, I was fostering a program from high school into workplace. So I took on a lot of kids, and they'd come for 2 weeks' work experience, and we give them tasks in the day. And I gave this girl just topping and tailing beans, simple task. She was doing it for 20 minutes. And I said, oh, you're almost done. She goes, oh, yes, chef. And I said, oh, look, took 20 minutes. I said, hopefully tomorrow it'll take 19. She goes, what do you mean? I've got to do it again tomorrow. I said, yeah, of course you do. Yeah, it's about being better and, yeah, and it's continuous improvement. No different to an athlete going to the track to shave 1/100th of a second off their time. You know, working in a kitchen, it's all time.
It
you
is.
Know, and as I said to the girl, I said, oh, you know, what's your favorite sport? And she said, netball. I said, that's great.
So we what's netball?
Yeah, what's that?
We're yeah.
Remember where you are.
We're the, yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry.
We're the Australia of the United States for.
Yeah. Well, we're in Texas now. But yeah, but what is netball?
Netball is similar to basketball. You just can't sort of dribble the ball as such. You know, you can pass and shoot.
So it's
you
more like traveling.
It's like the rugby version. It's the rugby version of basketball.
You're throwing a curveball there.
Yeah, I got you. All right, heard that.
So, yeah, and for me, what was really important in that message was it was that communication piece. And last year or the year earlier, I was in a female mentoring program. And I had this young lady from Spain, and she was having some challenges in her work environment. She had two chefs filleting fish a different way, and she didn't know how to go about it. And I said, oh, what's your relationship like with the chef? She goes, oh, look, you know, we don't really talk. I said, the easiest thing to do, go up to chef and say, chef, when you have half an hour, can we sit down and have a chat? And I said, the first question you ask him is, what areas can I improve in? Because immediately you get buy-in, right? And then you address the question, okay? And she's like, oh, okay. So a week later, we catch up, we have a coffee. And I said, how'd you go? She goes, John, amazing. So it was like a massive icebreaker for her. And when she went in the conversation, she said, how'd it go? Okay, so we sat down. He said, I need to work on this and this. I said, great. So what you do, you go and work on that. I said, how'd you go with your question? And she said, look, I went up and said, look, two chefs, you didn't have to name them, don't name them. I said, chef, which way do you prefer? And she said, he told me which way I prefer. I said, there you go, you've got your answer. You didn't get two people into trouble. You didn't throw them under the bus. And I said, but next week when you have a coffee, work on your improvement, what areas, and straight away the relationship, and loved it. But she couldn't broach the question because I don't know if she felt it was confrontational, the pressure. Am I going to throw the two guys under the bus?
Nobody ever wants to look like they don't know something,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
You know, and especially you cats in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Oh my God! Yeah,
we don't have an ego.
No, there's no egos. I can't see out of my own head's in my way. wow. No, but the truth. Look, listen. I remember I was like 26, 27. I had just started
a long time ago.
I just started in the produce business. The company that I worked for, they gave me like 200 accounts to manage. Mm. And it was everything from corporate accounts to mom and pops and everything in between. Anyway, there was this massive hotel in South Beach and it was an English chef. Now this is a long time ago.
I love this story.
Yeah, this is like during a time when, you know, you were getting physically accosted still, okay? I don't work for him. Like I work with him for him, but I don't work. I'm not on your line, you know what I mean? So I get a phone call one day from the chef. He's like, Carl, yeah, you better get your effing A over here. You know, with your garbage, blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah, chef, I'll come by. I'm going to take care of it. Anyway, I go to the hotel. Everybody's there. The whole team is there. You know what he does to me? He grabs me by my collar and pulls me in. And I said, well, hold on. I said, I respect you and this, but don't. No, I'm not going to have that. Mm. Ain't going to happen. That's the sort of stuff that thankfully, because of how things have progressed through time and how the new leadership of chefs are kind of instilling things into the younger guys and gals coming up, mm-hmm. that kind of is going away. But the egos were gigantic.
Yeah. You think they've subsided?
I do. Mm. I do. not the ego's still there, but the execution of their actions have changed. Mm. They had to have because you can't make it now. Now you are an HR problem.
Yeah, and I am definitely an HR problem. Yeah.
Right?
I am definitely an HR problem.
I know. You're teetering already with us. Okay. No, I'm kidding. I love you. Your family. You're in. I'm kidding.
I got a question for the chefs that we got. So, do you ever make a perfect dish?
I would have to say no. I'm not sure if the perfect dish has ever been created, you know. Of course, we all strive for as close to perfection of getting a dish, but it's always the stigmatism of what could I have done better if I had did this. Oh, I should have added this.
Doesn't the moment in time, doesn't the energy and moment in time indicate whether it's the perfect dish? Example, last night, okay? You're frying up crawfish, man.
Yeah, but remember, so we got done doing
crawfish.
The lamb.
It's delicious, but you know what? For me, that was the perfect execution of a dish because the environment, the energy made it perfect.
For you, for when I got done doing the lamb, Pooch had that mint julep syrup, simple syrup, and I went, oh, my God, I could have put this, and then he goes, well, it would have been too sweet. I'm like,
see, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right, and I go, yeah. I could have used the dat sauce, mixed it with the mint, and had a kiss.
Yes. See, that's what I'm talking about. It may have been perfect for you, but for the chef whose art it was, in our mind is always, ooh, what if I'd have did
this? No, I have to preface that. The good chefs,
yeah,
the ones that are worth their weight, i.e., you two, is that you do it, and everyone else goes, man, that's awesome. And then you go, I could have done a lemon. I could have done an orange. I could have done this. I could have done sear differently. I could have done. And then what do? You go back in the kitchen. What are you doing? Playing again.
Yes.
So that's what I was trying to get at. When you have that vision in your head and then you're breaking it. I used to work with a guy. He goes, I have a philosophy. My dad used to tell me, if it's not broke, break it and fix it better.
That's not. And you know what? That's.
I live by that.
I like that.
I really do. Chef, what about you with that whole topic?
Oh, no, I agree. Like, one of the dishes I actually did yesterday, I created in 1997, and it's evolved over the years. Yes. But the fabric has remained, but it's been tweaked and modernized and. Yeah, but that's food, and that's it's a constant journey, and that's what I love about it.
Think about back in when I was going through the Hell's Kitchens, we used to plate 12, 6, 3, and 9, and now we don't. Think about the evolution of plating, the art of it,
yes,
and what we do now. I mean, and that's what really pressures us to do better.
And where else can you really go? Like, you know, things have to get really different. It's a plate. And there's stuff on the plate. Where are you going to go?
I mean, look at the guys like Henri, the chocolatier that makes the 8-foot sculptures, and the other guys and gals that are doing stuff like that. They're people that are being so innovative, and they make me look like I'm just inept. I mean, I look, you are so, and people are like, oh, no, I'm not talented. Those guys, mind blowing.
Yes, the skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that's what makes a great. I think humbleness. And that particular attitude is what makes a great chef, right? And I think a young chef to have humbleness, I don't know if that exists, really. I mean, it's got to be
that young man yesterday, Chris.
Okay, but he's so young.
Yes, he is.
He's so young that he hasn't yet. But wait a minute. He has an experience. Right. I don't know. He didn't still get his full blast of, you know, puberty.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Like, he's still working on that.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you can't look at that. You got to look at somebody who's like 22, 23. They got a good job. They're getting a little paycheck. You know, they're, you know, that person. If at that age, if you can maintain, like, you know, a servant leader sort of deliverance, that person can be a star, right? I don't know.
They need to be contained. Like, we've all went through it in our younger years, you know what I mean? We've come through the kitchens. I had the same disciplines. I was fairly physical at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
A little bit, right? No,
right. Don't throw the pan at me, man. Nice. Don't throw it at me.
And management styles have changed quite a lot over the years. You know what I mean? I've been in the screaming kitchens and the pot-throwing kitchens, and, Christ, you do that now, and, man, you're gone.
You're gone.
You know what I mean? And fair enough, too, because there's no place for it. We're all humans at the end of the day. People make mistakes. It's, you know.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. I have a friend of mine. His name's Patrick Fagan. He took over as executive chef of a country club in Palm Beach. He tapped the person on the back of the shoulder and asked that server to grab something in the dining room. He got written up from HR, inappropriate touch.
Oh, man.
Fair dinkum. That's insane.
That is terrible.
Wait, what did you just say? Fair dinkin?
Yeah, are you for real? That's what it means.
Yeah. Fair dinkin. I'm gonna probably start using that. Fair dinkin.
Fair dinkin.
I like it.
We have a new word.
Yeah, we gotta write that down.
What do you mean write it down? It's taped.
Yeah, well, flag it. You know, so find it again. All right, listen. So, first of all, like, second of all, I should say, this is the kind of conversation that we love to have on the program, because it gets into the molecule of the business. It isn't superficial. It's deep, and I think the audience and listenership, this is the sort of content that they're looking for. Obviously, we always want to talk about, hey, well, what spice did you use? What was the, you know, right? But this is really the essence of delivering the right sort of food. Mm-hmm. We're in concert on that.
Yeah,
so,
100%.
Yeah, so this is kind of what we are here at Walk and Talk. So I appreciate that. The fact that the both of you. And now listen, so you guys both are pretty elevated in terms of your careers, and we all fit in this table here. Right? You know, yeah, nobody's head was pushing true. Each other out of the way.
Right.
And so it's obvious where you guys are in your lives and in your careers. And I think that is what is important to focus on, because when you're talking about mentoring and mm-hmm. you're talking about bringing up the younger ones, this is what they need to see.
Attention.
Right? Actions.
That's true.
No, look at the actions.
Yeah.
So how do we find you?
All right. All social medias at Chef Jannard. That's Jannard with a J. My newest cookbook that's out, Southern Inspired, My American Table. They can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold all across the U.S.
Should have had them here. I want you to sign my book.
I know, right? What? Yes.
Should have a book signing right here. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, come on, man. You know, we're kind of a big deal.
Listen,
here.
Where's your manager? I'll be the assistant to him.
I know.
Chef?
Yeah, for me, pretty simple. Instagram, so it's just John_McFadden, MCFADDEN_. And heavily involved with LinkedIn as a networking platform.
Love LinkedIn.
So LinkedIn is pretty powerful for me.
It's a sleeper. LinkedIn is a sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and just
you have anything
my
new
story.
Coming up that you want to talk about real quick?
Oh, gosh, no. I've got my head buried in the World Food Championships yes. right now. So yeah. ask me tomorrow.
Okay. You're right.
Food champ.
Yeah, all right. That's it.
Listen, I appreciate y'all being on. Jefferson, the starship over there. Appreciate you. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.